Good morning, Hope Church. I trust that the Lord is well with you and you're enjoying what God is saying to you today. You're enjoying the fellowship and you're enjoying the worship. It's good to know that you're with us. And I want you to know that God's got some more good stuff for you today. So I'm going to continue the theme what we've been talking about as a church over the last couple of weeks, which is about reset. And I'm going to be speaking particularly around the second half of 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 7. And here Saul has gone looking for his dad's donkeys, which have gone missing, can't find them, but he stumbles across Samuel. And then as part of the stumbling across Samuel, we find that God actually asked Samuel to anoint Saul to be the future king of Israel. And Saul is then sent on his way with these words ringing in his ears from Samuel. And Samuel said to Saul, "Do whatever your hands find to do, for God is with you." I want us to look today at what we need to do with regards to finding, doing what our hand, what we need to do that God has prepared for us and has planned for us to do, knowing that he is with us. We're going to look at resetting our life. So, to reset our lives, the first thing we need to do is look at where we are. The second thing we need to do is to look where we need to be. And then we need to look and assess when and how we need to change things, how we need to move to get from A to B. Very similar to in the spiritual life, what we would do in our natural life, whether it's our career or even just the journey. So if I want to go and see my sister, I need to know that I'm here in Weldon. I need to know that my sister is in Westwood Ho in Dedham, and I need to know how to get there. And I can go down the A14, M6, M42, M5, down past Bristol and Exeter, and then cut across through Biddeford and into Westwood Ho. Or I can go straight down the A43 to Oxford, then cut across to Swindon, then drop down through Dorset and come in on the scenic route, depending on which route I want to go. But either way, I need to know where I am, I need to know where I'm going, and then I can look at how I get there. And it's exactly the same as what we're going to be doing today with regards to what are the next steps for us with regards to getting to the position that God wants us to be, to entering into the appointment and the anointment that he has got for us. So where am I? And where does God want me to be? So, big question. What do you see as your primary task for God in 5 years' time? What do you see as your primary task for God in 5 years' time? So for me, I've answered this myself recently. I think my primary task for God over the next few years is about equipping and building people up and releasing people into their ministries so that I am teaching them from things that I've learnt in the physical, in the spiritual, in the natural, in work and in church, and teaching them from my experience and showing them things. This is an exact first step in that, sharing with you today some courses that are, a course that I've written is part of that. Going and talking to missionaries once COVID's over and we can go and travel. That's another part of it. That is my primary task. What is your primary task for God? What do you see as being your primary task in 5 years' time? Maybe you don't know. Do you know what God's anointing you to do? Do you know what God's appointing to you to do? Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't know because you don't feel it's obvious. Maybe you feel it's obvious, it's easy for evangelists because it's very, very, it's just there. It's easy for teachers and pastors, and it's easy for prophets because they've got these supernatural gifts which are just jump out. Well, I just want to tell you something. It didn't just happen like that. They had to develop their giftings and they had to look at what God was calling them to, and they had to step out. They had to take step first steps. So maybe you too might have one of those obvious gifts, as we would call it. You just haven't stepped into it. Maybe you may be an evangelist. Maybe you may be a teacher. Maybe you may be a preacher. Maybe you may be a pastor. Maybe you may be a missionary. Maybe. But it's about identifying what is our primary task, what is our anointing, what is our appointing, and then how am I equipped to do that task, and how do I step into that? Maybe you've got the exact opposite problem. Maybe you feel that your gift is too obvious, and because it's too obvious, it's too easy. Well, I find teaching so easy. It's obvious, and so you undervalue and underrate what you are skilled and what you are appointed in. You know, maybe you just completely undervalue that, and you say it's not difficult enough. I want to do something different. You know, so for me, for example, not so much on the big picture, but I would love to be able to sing and lead worship for the Lord and have a phenomenal voice, like Aaron or like Garrel, or I would just love to be able to do that. But I don't sing very well. I love singing, absolutely adore singing. And apologies for those of you when I've got too loud and too passionate and sung a bit out of tune, trying to be too clever. I just love it. I'm just not very, very good at it. And because of that, I actually value that gift very, very highly. Another gift, I value artwork. I just love it. But I couldn't create that. But I just love it. So I value that very highly. But I don't value being able to do numbers easy. I don't value leadership particularly, you know, highly, because it comes naturally to me. And because it comes naturally to me, it's not difficult, so I undervalue it. Maybe you're the same. Maybe it's too obvious, your anointing and your appointing, so you undervalue it and you're looking for something much more difficult, much more complicated, much more spiritual, much bigger. Don't. The gift God has given you is the gift that you're going to be best at. It's the gift you're going to enjoy the most. And it's the gift where God is just going to just use you the most. Don't make it too complicated. Maybe we've neglected our gift. So maybe God's given us gifts and we've put them to one side. I know when we went to Zimbabwe, the missionary there, she had an 18-year-old daughter who is extremely gifted in singing and art, and love it a bit, Lizzie. Absolutely, her work and the gifting she's got is amazing. And I saw her painting, and she told me she'd given up painting. No, I've given that up. But it was brilliant. So God gave me a couple of words for her, and I encouraged her. And she do the lion painting that so many of you have seen in our house and what have you. And it's head of a lion, and she's put verses in the mane, and it is amazing. But she completely undervalued it. She started to ignore it. She started to neglect it, and she completely negated what God had given you. Don't do those things. Recognize the gifts that God has given you. Value them, because God has put them in you, and every good gift from God is good. I guess I used the same word twice there. Apologies. Every gift from God is good. It's amazing. You have great gifts. Do not undervalue them. But still, even then, you may say, okay, yeah, I've got some good gifts, but I'm still not sure what God is anointing me to do and what God wants to appoint me to do and what God is equipping me to do. So what I'd suggest to you is that you do one of these, well, you do these five things. First of all, you ask him. That's radical, isn't it? Rocket science. Yes, power strikes again. Rocket science. None of you would have ever thought of that, would you? Ask him. It's so obvious. He wants to tell you. He's just out there. Come on.
come and talk to me. Come and listen to me. I want to just whisper things in your ear.
I just love the fact that this year Aaron is spending 10 minutes every morning just coming before God and shutting up. I could do with doing some of that, shutting up. I know I'm a bit verbose. But he's coming before God and he's shutting up and he's spending that 10 minutes just listening to what God wants to say to him. Listening in his head, listening in his mind, listening in his spirit. Just speak, Lord, your servant heareth. Reminds me of Jacob when he wrestled with God. I ain't gonna let you go until you bless me. Why don't you set aside time before God and say, God, I'm going to stop here until you talk to me. Just tell me what you want and listen for that still, small voice, that confirmation in your spirit. Ask him. The second thing I say to you, more rocket science. Are you ready for this? Brace yourself. Read the Bible.
What?
Yeah, read the Bible. There's a promise in the Bible in Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet. God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. It will show us the way. His word, he will show us the way, because his word is also Jesus. He will show us the way. He will reveal things to you. You'll find scriptures will jump out. You'll be reminded of the things that you've read. Read his word. Third idea. Go and chat to other Christians, people who you consider to be wise and people who you know talk to God and spend time with God and hear God's voice. Ask them what they think God might be saying to you. Seek their counsel. Use them to just bounce your thoughts and your ideas. So I was praying to God and this random thought came. I'm not sure if it's from him. What do you think? Talk to them. Share with them. They'd be, you know, phone me up, phone Damien up, phone anybody who you know. Just spend that time, ask them for their counsel. We are here as body together to help each other. The fourth thing is look for that unction in the Spirit, that guidance from God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said when he left this earth and he ascended to heaven, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to guide us, to comfort us, to direct us, to show us his way. Rely on God's Holy Spirit. When you became a Christian, God set his Holy Spirit inside you. That's a promise. It's in Paul's letters. It's all through Paul's letters. God's Holy Spirit is in you as testimony and witness that you are a child of God. And that Holy Spirit will stir up and talk to your spirit and it will guide you, and you may feel it as butterflies, you may feel it as heat, you may feel it as love, you may feel it as peace, but you know when his Holy Spirit is talking to you. Ask, rely on the unction of his Holy Spirit within you. And the fifth thing, now this really is radical, I'm afraid, use some holy common sense. What? Yeah. I did just say that. Holy common sense. Yeah. God gives us a brain. He gives us intellect. He gives us things. Gives us that reason and that understanding so that we can think things through. You know, if you are not brilliant at singing and not brilliant at art, Paul Bauer, then you're probably not going to be excessively used in your primary task for creative worship. That doesn't mean that God can't, it doesn't mean that God won't, but the holy common sense is he's probably going to use me in the giftings which he's got, he's put in me, which is numeracy, passion, teaching, leadership. Those are the things that he's given. Use those gifts. And I tell you what, I get a lot more. If I did try to create that, I would become so frustrated. Whereas when I do the things that God has made me to do, I get so fulfilled. If you're doing the things that God has given you and God has equipped you and given you ability and talent and skill for, which is probably what he's going to use you for, you will get such fulfillment out of him. What are you good at? As I said before, don't undervalue it. Don't undervalue it. Every gift inside of you, no matter how you value it, is given to you from God. If it's given to you from God, it's a good gift, and it is for His purpose and His benefit. You know, a phrase that God has laid on my heart quite a bit over the last 3 or 4 years is the significance of the insignificant. The significance of the insignificant. We do some things which we individually might consider very insignificant. Oh, that's not much. It's just. But actually God takes it, He blesses it, He multiplies it, He uses it, and He uses it beyond our wildest imagination. What do you think that boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fish thought about his picnic when he had it? Yeah, this is going to be quite nice. I wish I'd got some butter on it. I wish I could have had some Branston pickle with this, or cheese might have been better rather than fish. He might have thought all of those things. He might not have thought any of them. But it doesn't matter. He had something which he considered, I guess, in the scheme of things, relatively insignificant. Look how God used it to feed 5,000 men and all the women and all the children, not only to feed them, but to make sure that they were fully satisfied. So they didn't just have a little morsel and pass it on. They had enough to be fully satisfied, to be fully filled. And then there were baskets full of leftovers, 12 baskets full of leftovers at the end. God will take what you have and what you bring. Do not undervalue it. And He will use it to feed people. He will use it to change individuals' lives here on earth. Now He will use it to change people's individual eternities. You are gifted. Use your giftings as God has given you. He has anointed you, He has appointed you, and He has equipped you to do His good works and His good pleasure. If you're a salesman, I suggest you start looking at selling God. Selling God? Yeah, well, okay. You know what I mean. Can't sell Him. But all a salesman does, all a salesman does is find out what you need, and then show you what he's got meets your need. Go out and find out what individuals need, and then show them how God meets that need. Because God meets all of our needs in every single one of us. He's that God-shaped hole. He will meet our needs. If you're a teacher, teach. If you teach preschool, teach preschool. If you teach nursery and kindergarten, teach nursery. If you teach primary, teach primary. If you teach secondary, higher education, whatever. They're all different skills. They're all different equippings. They're all slightly different. Go and find your purpose, your need, and start to do it. If you're a carer, start to care for his church. Phone Sue up. She could do with some help on the pastoral side. I know. Care for the church. All a pastor is somebody who cares. If you're a cleaner, clean for God. Maybe in the spiritual world, that might mean helping people to sort out some of the mess that their lives are in. That's a bit of a jump, I know, but there you go. For somebody, maybe that's a word for you this morning. If you're a parent, do not underestimate the impact of your parenting on your children now. Don't be so worrying about being part of the worship team or being an evangelist or that you neglect that parenting. Because who knows, your child might be the next Billy Graham. They might be the next prime minister. They might be the leader of a chief executive of some company. They might be a pastor. They might be a missionary. Who knows what seed is in that apple, as Sue and Tom shared with us the other day. Who knows what orchard is in the apple of your child? In your child, there is a great orchard just waiting to burst forth. If you're a parent and parenting is your gifting at the moment, go and talk to Louise. Ask her how you can be an even better parent. Ask her for skills that she can share with you and teach you, and courses that she's got. But to each of us, let's find our task. and let's undertake the task that God has given us. So where am I? Where does God want me to be? What do you see as your primary task? Okay, three questions now which go after that is, so what are you doing today that you should keep doing and you should do more of? What are you doing today that you need to stop doing to make room for what are the things that God has called you to and has appointed you to and has anointed you to? Are there things that you should start doing that you are not currently doing? And I'll talk about a few of those things in a moment, but I just want to give you those generic questions. What are you doing now that you should keep doing and do more of? What are you doing that you need to stop doing to make room for the things that God wants you to do? What are the things that you need to start doing that you're not currently doing? Okay. God has gifted you and has anointed you and has appointed you. He needs you to start to step into that appointment. Now is the time in your life, in my life, in our lives as individuals, in our life as a church, when we need to stop prevaricating, stop messing about, stop thinking about it, but actually step out of the boat and start to walk on that water with God. Now, Peter could have spent hours arguing with Jesus as to why physically it was impossible for him to walk on the water. But at the end of the day, he took a risk. He took a step of faith, and he got out that boat. And he knew that Jesus was with him. God is calling you to step out the boat, to take that step of faith, to do what he's called you to do, and to trust in him, to know that he is with you and he will allow you and enable you to walk on that water with him. God has anointed you. God has appointed you. God has equipped you. God is doing those things for you. Okay, so maybe you've heard all this before. Okay, if you've heard it all before, have you done what God has told you to do? If not, why not? What's stopping you? Maybe he told you ages ago, maybe he's just telling you now. Now is the time to just do it. Nike, tick, do it. God has prepared things for you. God has a purpose and a plan for you, which you alone can undertake. And it's things that he wants you to do that will do you good and that will do others good. Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the plans he has for you, plans to prosper you, plans to do you good. Just step out of that boat and do it. As Damien reminded us last week, in Hebrews 13, it says that the God of peace has equipped you with everything good for doing his will, and he will work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. God has equipped, he's done something about it. He's equipped you for doing his will. Do action. To work in us, action. Time for action, folks. No more messing about. Time to do. So, back to, and I come to a land with this, back to my verse, 1 Samuel chapter 10, the second half of verse 7. Do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Do what God is telling you to do, because God is with you. If he's telling you to serve, serve. If he's telling you to join a life group, join a life group. If he's telling you to become partners in our church and come to the authority, under the authority and the submission of this church, and to be an active part committed with us, do it. If he's talking to you about giving, whether it's financial or whether it's about time, do it. If he's talking about reconciling, you need to be reconciled to somebody, do it. If he's talking to you about ministry, whether it's paid, unpaid, part-time, full-time, whether whatever it is, whether it's teaching, kids work, youth work, missionaries, whatever, take steps to make it happen. If he's talking to you about stepping into the gifts of the Spirit, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and you've been worried about that, if God's talking to you about doing that, do it. If he's talking to you about prayer walks and prayer drives, you know, when Aaron was encouraging us to do prayer walks earlier last year, and he talked to us about doing the anytime, anyplace, anywhere prayer walks. If he's talked to you about that and you've not done it, start to do it. If he's talking to you about forming a prayer triplet, do it. If he's talking to you about reading God, his word daily and spending time with him daily, do it. If he's talking about reading the whole Bible through, do it. If he's talking to you like he's spoken to me, instead of just reading the Bible through in a year, he said to me, well, okay, Paul, during this lockdown, why don't you see you've got more time on your hands? Stop wasting game time and playing computer games and all that silly stuff. Read the Bible in 2 months. Okay, God, I'm stepped up and I'm doing it. Is he talking to you about that? Is he talking to you about writing songs? Is he talking to you about writing poetry? Is he talking to you about prophetic singing? Is he talking to you about prophetic art? Is he talking to you about prophetic dance? Is he talking to you about other creative things like that? Whatever God is talking to you about, now is the time. Look at what your primary task for God is and what he's calling you to do, and take a step towards stepping into that ministry that he has for you. Now is the time. Do what your hands find to do, because God is with you. I just want to close by praying this prayer. Will you pray it with me as a commitment to God, to actually saying, I need your help, but I want to do it for you. So let's pray. So I'll pray fairly slowly so you can pray it with me. The words may appear on the screen below. Lord, thank you for giving me the boldness and the confidence to step forward into what you have prepared for me. That's a step of faith. Thank you for giving me the boldness and confidence to step forward into what you have prepared for me. You are with me, and I will trust, and I will not be afraid. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Step into the ministry of God and enjoy the fulfillment of what he has for you. Bless you.